Women's Health Matters on Talk About. Brought to you in association with the Scotia Clinic Rathas Tralee, specialists in fertility and menopause.
Now, we are chatting to Dr. Mary McCaffrey. We're talking specifically about adolescent gynaecology this afternoon. A couple of more things we want to mention as well, Mary, is a message you wanted to get across is there's some talk about HRT shortages.
Okay, yeah, this is actually a really important one, and it's not a big bad shortage, so nobody needs to be panicking. One of the drugs that we use in HRT is a drug called eutrogestin. It's the progestogen part of HRT. So your estrogen is what relieves your symptoms, and the progestogen is what protects the lining of the womb from overgrowing and maybe potentially becoming malignant. So eutrogestin would be the mildest one, the one people like. It's called body identical. It's the nearest to natural progesterone. And unfortunately, because loads of people are now on HRT, there's now a shortage of one of these doses of eutrogestin. Internationally, it's UK and here. So people are getting a little bit panicky about it and wondering what to do. And I suppose the most important message I wanted to get out there was this is an important part of your HRT. June is Endometrial Cancer Awareness Month. Endometrial cancer is the most common cancer in gynaecology now. So it's the one that's preventable, and we don't want to see this becoming a big issue. So instead of squirreling or halving their dose or halving their tablets or skipping tablets, go back to your doctor and see what alternatives are there out there, because there are. You could put a Mirena in, or there are different drugs that you can use instead temporarily till it comes back on stream. So very, very important message. Don't start trying to do something that will actually maybe cause a health problem.
Okay, that's good advice. Now, you mentioned endometrial cancer there. Is that different from cervical and ovarian? Because I would have thought they were the two ones that affected that area.
No, they're not. Endometrial cancer is actually one of the growing cancers. It's associated with certain conditions where you say, for example, women who have diabetes, women who have high BMI, different hormones that they might be on. So it is a growing problem in the world, and it's. I have some information up on it. I'll put more up now on the next few days about endometrial cancer before the end of the month for people to be aware of. So the big message would be that if you have any abnormal bleeding after the menopause, and what we call postmenopausal bleeding, always seek advice. We can do a scan, we can have a look, we can do a hysteroscopy and biopsy it. Be safe.
Okay, very good. Ready for some questions?
Okay.
Listener says, will you ask the doctor about the Mirena coil? I've had it in for 9 years. I'm 48 years old. Is it dangerous to have it in that long?
No, it isn't. I mean, I'm presuming she's had a change of Mirena somewhere in the 9 years. It's not the same Mirena for 9 years. The current license for Mirena is that for women under 45 for contraception is 8 years. Over 45, it's 10 years. For HRT, it's 5 years. So it's not dangerous at all. It's in fact, it's one of the useful things we often use to prevent the lining of the womb thickening.
Okay. Here's an interesting one. Listener says, why doesn't the HSE roll out smear tests for a lower age group of 25? I believe it's very important for the younger age group to be checked. My daughter got a smear test done by a GP here. It was discarded as she was under 25. 12 months later in Australia, she was told she had cancer cells. Thankfully, the Australian healthcare system found it. Otherwise, things might have turned out very differently.
Okay. I suppose the age of 25 was picked on the basis that by the time people have been sexually active, etc., that it's unlikely people will get cancer before 25. Obviously, if someone presented with symptoms, they would always have the option of having tests done. I suppose we've also got to remember that most people now who are under 25 have had the HPV vaccine, which reduces the risk of cervical cancer. And that would be a huge thing. And we are seeing huge changes in the sort of profile of cervical precancer cells, etc., since the HPV vaccine rolled in. So at the moment, it's regarded as being the right age to have it. Maybe that does need to be reviewed, but at the moment, it's scientifically and evidence-based.
Okay. Listener says, should I get my daughter checked out? She'll be 15 next month and still hasn't got her period. And this listener mentions that her daughter has scoliosis. I don't know whether that's relevant or not.
Probably not relevant. I suppose at 15, by 15, we would be saying it's worth a check. It's worth a check. And it's a basic check. The first thing you want to know is someone hasn't had a period at 15. Do they have a womb and ovaries? An ultrasound scan will tell you that. And their hormone levels then will give some idea of what's going on as well. Interesting to know if the rest of her development, breast development, pubic hair, everything, that might be normal as well. And I do think another thing I didn't say, it's important. I always think that sometimes young girls come in to me and the mums start talking about the terrible periods they had and the awful time they had. And I think it's a very negative message to get to young people because they start off in a negative foot about everything to do with their reproduction. I think 15... is a time when you need to be wondering why they've not had a period.
Yeah, so maybe get her checked out.
Without making her too anxious.
Caller is 60 years old and she says she's wondering, do menopause symptoms ever finish? She got the menopause at 53 and she's now 60.
There are a very small percentage of people for whom they don't finish. We deal with that. We figure out what we can do to assist them if HRT isn't an option. We wouldn't be starting HRT at 50. We'd look at lifestyle changes, check out is it definitely menopause, could it be thyroid problems? But unfortunately, there are a small percentage of women for whom it doesn't.
Yeah, but there is help available.
There is help available.
That's something she should think about. Now, I'm not sure whether this is really your area of expertise, Mary, but I'll put it to you anyway. It's a listener in her 70s, and she says, if you're taking cod liver oil or sunflower oil, does it cause weight gain? And she started taking these oils and has put on weight since.
Probably not my area of expertise, but I would have thought it was unlikely that they were related to the weight gain, unless it's something about the formulation that's something else maybe they're with. Might be worth getting their pharmacy to look at it and see what could it be.
Okay. Listener says, this is Sarah, is it important to be on HRT during and after the menopause? I'm 58, post-menopause, and was very lucky I went through the years very healthy in comparison to many of my friends and family. Is HRT always necessary?
No, absolutely not. But there are a lot of other things that if we meet women who are 58, we would talk about. They don't need HRT necessarily, but they need to know that maybe vaginal dryness can kick in as people get older and can cause problems, and that could be maybe vaginal estrogen on its own. They also need to be aware of their bones and their brain. So it might be that vitamin D is something that would be very valuable for them, healthy diet valuable for them, omega-3, the fish oils for their brain function. So not everybody needs HRT.
Listener says, I'm on Ovestin cream 3 weeks in for recurring UTIs and vaginal problems. So far, it's life-changing. I want to know, can I use it long-term and does it affect periods?
She didn't say, did she say what age she was?
No.
Okay. Ovestin is vaginal estrogen and it is life-changing. There are Ovestin cream, there are pessaries and there are tablets that we use, and they make a huge difference to people who have vaginal dryness. Most people possibly find them so life-changing they don't want to come off them, but sometimes people would maybe take a course for 3 months and do that a couple of times a year or switch over to vaginal moisturisers or whatever, but it's safe to take.
Okay, we'll finish with this one. This lady who rang in has a daughter who's 37. The daughter has been trying for over a year and a half to have a baby. She'd been on the pill for 8 or 9 years before that, but is now off it a year and a half. No sign of anything happening. She says her daughter won't go to a fertility doctor. How can I put it to my daughter that she and her partner might need to be checked out? Very sensitive one.
It's a very sensitive one because she's obviously an adult and has her, I suppose the message is that after 35, if you really do think you want to have a baby, then the time to be, we would say, unprotected sex for 12 months, and if you're not pregnant, you should be checked out. That's a difficult one. Maybe they just haven't thought about, maybe they're terrified of what they'll hear.
Yeah.
That's usually it.
Yeah.
And burying your head in the sand if they wait longer, it might be worse. but she can't make her go.
Yeah, you can always tell her to listen back to this podcast and
or do a little bit of research. Yeah. Even do basic, you know, some basic tests without having treatments.
Okay. The lady who's on the Ovestin, is it, cream, yeah, has been back to say she's 48. So does that make
sense? That's okay. No, that's fine. I just wanted to figure out what age she was. Yeah. So,
yeah. Perfect. Yeah. We better let you go, Mary, because we're out of time. But thank you for that. As usual, you covered a vast area.
We're going off to get all ready to go to the Women in Business Awards tonight.
We'll both be at the Women in Business Awards tonight.
I'll put up some websites on the Scotia Facebook page for the adolescent gynecology clinics in America and in Britain, because they have some fabulous information leaflets for girls.
Brilliant. That's good to hear. Mary, thank you so much. I'll see you tonight.
You'll see you tonight.
The listeners will hear you again next month. We'll take a break, folks. Lots more to come on Friday's Talk About.